Hello, and welcome to Cheese Flicks with Logan and Andrew, a show where two friends crawl through a river of bad movies and hope to come out clean on the other side.
Welcome to Cheese Flicks with Logan and Andrew. My name's Logan.
And I'm Andrew.
And I'm representing the main character, Officer Down, because that's the movie we watched. It's a cop, zombie, action, comedy, weird movie that tries really hard, and we'll let you decide if it succeeds or not, but join us as we dive into this introduction, I suppose, to what is the I don't know how it, I can't do this anymore, but this movie was clearly a it was intended to not take itself seriously, which I think it did great. It is a horror comedy.
I don't know if I call
action comedy.
Yeah, just I mean, it's just it's definitely like a hard R, like very adult. You get that from the first like 10 seconds of the movie. Like, oh, this is not a child's movie.
So we've got Officer Down, who is this super, you know, straightforward cop who's just, you know, he lives and dies by the badge, and the, you know, he wants to stop crime and be a good cop, and he is apparently they don't really give you too much of an intro right off the bat, but you kind of come to find that he is this cop who is sent in to, like, on suicide missions to stop criminals. He can be shot to death or blown up or destroyed, and they somehow are able to bring him back, and he's able to start the mission all over again. And because they keep bringing him back, and he's this, you know, really great cop, he's just constantly trying to win the day. But as the movie progresses, it's not so simple as one might think. It would be to just bring someone back from the dead and not have any repercussions. So it's kind of the intro summary. What do you think, Andrew? Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, so this was based on a graphic novel, and I definitely had that kind of feel, and parts kind of reminded me a little bit of Sin City. I mean, it's very dark. It is super hyper violent. I mean, like, blood gushing, limbs being ripped off, in some cases people being beaten to death with those limbs that were ripped off. You know, sort of way over the top effects and weapons. I particularly liked Officer Down's sort of signature weapon, which was a
was it like two 44 magnums, like kind of like slapped together?
So it was listed as an 85 magnum, which it was a double barrel revolver, which doesn't make any sense. And to add to the not making any sense, it had a banana clip sticking out of the bottom, which I just do a Google image search of like Officer Down's revolver. While I'm talking, I'm going to do that to make sure that even like comes up with something. But it's like, it's funny because in one scene you can actually see, like the, I don't know what it's called, but the circular part of a revolver that actually would normally contain the ammunition that rotates as you fire rounds, you can see it moving, and then you have the banana clip that like feeds up underneath it, so it's like there's no way that those bullets would actually get into the chamber. Like if you do a Google image search, you'll see a couple versions of both the movie version and the comic book version, which it looks like they did a pretty accurate portrayal of it. But this thing is a freaking hand cannon. I mean, shooting somebody with it makes their head explode like a water balloon.
Yeah, it looks like Hellboy's gun, kind of, like, as far as, like, you know, how big this is. Like, it's definitely this giant handgun. revolver thing that is obviously just meant to blow your opponent in half or, you know, canoe their head or whatever. But yeah, this movie, which I would say is far probably one of my favorite parts, is like the fact that they did have over the top special effects. But I mean, everything is over the top. The music, the acting, the sound effects. This was directed or written or something by some member of Slipknot, the band.
Director, I don't think writer.
Okay. But then there was a few members of Slipknot that made appearances in the movie, which I thought was funny. The beginning bad guy, who I forget his name, but he was like Hothead Harry or something, who was running the crank.
The super place. Crank operation?
Yeah, the super crank. I forget what they called him, but they were calling him like Hothead something. But he looked like a hybrid between the Riddler and the Joker. I don't know. I remember like as soon as I saw that, I'm like, okay, he's kind of got this.
That's exactly what I wrote down. It was Batman.
Oh,
Riddler looking guy making yeah. super crank.
Yeah.
It definitely reminded me of like Jim Carrey's Riddler from whatever awful version of Batman that
Batman
was.
Forever, I think. I don't remember. But that was the lead singer of Slipknot. And I just recognized his voice and I'm like, he sounds really familiar. Then I was like, and he looks kind of familiar, but I think also there's a character that you run into later in the movie who's a vulture looking character, like a weird, like gross owl, and that's another member of Slipknot. But he's behind a mask the whole time, so.
Yeah.
One of the members of the Fortune 500.
Yeah, so to give just a few more details, I guess, about, like, the plot. So, yeah, so basically the police department is secretly bringing Officer Down back to life using the powers of a group of disabled individuals who happen to have some type of, like, psychic ability
or telekinetic ability. Telekinetic, that's what
yeah.
it was.
Which they don't really go into any more explanation of like how exactly that works. They pretty much channel the energy, they gather it up, and they use it to restore him. And it works pretty much like magic. Like they put him on the gurney, he's all burned up, lights flash, electricity comes in and out, and
yeah.
then his body is just magically transformed back to like full health. Doesn't seem like he has like full memory of everything that's happened before. He pretty much just knows that he's a cop and he's got to stop bad guys. Like, that's what he's got to do.
Yeah, the way they kind of describe, or they kind of show in the movie, is it looks like a bunch of people who are obviously not mentally aware of what's going on around them and are completely, almost imprisoned, it looked like. But it's, you know, you've learned that they're, you know, quote-unquote, they're on their own volition, but it doesn't really seem like it. And they're, like, daisy-chained together with, like, those little medical things that you see in, like, other sci-fi movies where they like place a little band-aid looking things around your temple of your head, like when you're doing like, you know, shock therapy or something. I don't know what those are called, but they're a little but they're all like connected, and it I don't know, the I guess we could just run through the plot really quickly, but I think it starts off with you kind of have Officer Down going down on somebody, because that's apparently a part of the plot. Does that ever, like, you ever figure out what's going on with that scenario? Is that just a thing?
I think he's just...
He's just...
I don't know. He's just a guy, man.
Down. He, that's why they call him Officer Down, is because he's good at going down on women, I guess.
Which he definitely is.
Orgasm counter.
Yeah.
And,
so, yes. It opens with him, like, in a hotel room or an apartment, you know, going down on this girl, and there literally is an orgasm counter in the bottom of the screen. That's just...
And they ring a bell each time it goes up one, and it's like, oh my god. See, this movie is just ridiculous from the get-go, but Officer Down is sent in to stop a few bad guys to the super crank factory. He gets blown up at the end of that ordeal, but then you meet the secondary character. His name is Gabe? Or Gabriel? Is it Gabriel?
Gable. I'll probably accidentally say Gamble, because I think I heard it as Gamble and I wrote it down as Gamble a bunch, and then I realized at the end that it's Officer Gable.
And you immediately, he's this like fresh faced kid who looks like, you know, he's clean shaven, looks like he's 12 kind of thing. He gets basically brought into the fold to be a part of Officer Down's backup detail, and you kind of find out that what this is Officer Down is a part of some special project for the LAPD that is obviously bringing a cop back to life whenever he's killed. But this is the kind of cop who never call in for backup and doesn't want to be bothered with backup. So he actually has a crew of officers that sort of follow him around and then clean up the mess after he's done, it seems like. And this Officer Gable is the newest addition to this team, along with a few others. And right from the get-go, the Officer Gable's kind of like leery of it all. He's new and questioning and wants to, you know, jump in and help out whenever he can, but the rest of the cops are these kind of like, you know, they're the old guard, so to speak, and are used to this already, and they're just like, no, we just hang back and don't do anything stupid. Don't you know, stick your neck out.
Yeah, so basically the movie just kind of follows. There's a couple rounds of kind of attacks and him getting killed, and there's a big bad guy, which is this group called the Fortune 500, and Logan had mentioned the ostrich-looking person or something like that. Whatever, not ostrich, what'd you say?
The vulture, I think.
Vulture. These, like, three... at first, I thought they were, like, furries or something. People dressed up in costume. Which, I mean, obviously, that's what they are, but I thought that's what they were supposed to be. But as the movie went on, I kind of was under the impression that these were, like, animal people. Like, they weren't humans in costume. So there's three. There's one that's, like, a...
leopard.
Yeah, like a snow leopard, one that's, like you said, a vulture, and another one that's, like,
kind of like a black man. Yeah, you're right. Maybe wolfman, that sounds better, because I couldn't tell if it was going for, like, a sharp-toothed gorilla or, like, a black lion or something. But, yeah, I guess that makes more sense, like a wolfman hybrid kind of thing.
Yeah, so they're the head of this criminal group, and they hire, they're kind of getting tired of Officer Down. Constantly messing up, I guess, their super crank operations. So they hire Zen Master Flash, which I love that name. As soon as I heard Zen Master Flash, I'm like, oh, I'm going to like this guy. And he's this, like, basically martial arts expert that it comes over to stop him. You know, he gets like a posse together. And just to summarize things real quick, basically, they end up capturing... Zen Master Flash ends up capturing Officer Down, has him tied up, unconscious, and Officer Gable is basically left with trying to find a way to revive him remotely. So normally they have him in, like, the lab for these disabled individuals to bring back. So he wants them to, like, push their powers to the limit to, like, bring him back from a distance, even though they don't know where he's at.
Yeah.
So that kind of leads into, like, the end sort of fight scene of the movie. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I mean, the movie is based mainly around, you know, what's going on with Officer Down, and, you know, you're kind of put in the perspective mainly of Officer Gable, of trying to understand what's all happening. And not giving all, you know, nobody gives him any information up front. It's so bizarre because this happens throughout the whole movie. This is probably the most annoying part, is so many times various characters in the movie are put in situations that they had no clue what they were going into, and they either, like, just agree to do it or, you know, I guess I can kind of understand if you're a police officer, you just take orders and follow through with them, whatever, but... I mean, they're not military, which made me feel kind of weird. Like, there's so many things in this movie where they're like, I order you to do this. And it's like, yes, sir, right away, sir. And I'm like, is this the Marines or are these the, you know, is this the LAPD? And there's a couple times when even, like, I think one of the bad guys goes to visit the nuns. And she's like, if you knew what you were getting into, you wouldn't have even came. And I'm like, so wait, this guy just decided to go, like, negotiate with somebody without any information? Like, knowing what was going down?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's not a whole lot of plot, I guess, that gets fleshed out properly, but it's not meant to be that kind of a movie.
No, I wonder how much they were kind of just going along the lines of what the comic book does. Although, I think it is, I thought it was odd that, you know, it is kind of like you're picking up from the middle of a story, in a sense. You don't really... You are told the origins of Officer Down, whereas in most comic book movies, in the first one, you would kind of see that. I think it would have been kind of interesting to see him as, like, the first time before he dies for the first time and come back for the first time and kind of keep him as the main character. That was kind of one of my main complaints is I didn't, the storyline with, like, the team of officers that back him up was not really all that important. I guess you wanted to have some kind of characterization with Gable since he was the one responsible for bringing him back in mm-hmm. the end. But I really liked Officer Down. I thought the actor that played him was really funny. That's the guy that was Tig in Sons of Anarchy, Kim Coates. He was also in... He was in Prison Break. He was like an FBI agent in Prison Break.
Yeah, he looked familiar. I didn't watch a lot of Sons of Anarchy, so I didn't recognize him from that. But yeah, he did do a great job. I think that he was probably obviously the most standout character in the whole movie. Zen Master Flash.
Yeah. I just wish he'd have been in the movie more. I mean, it's like he's the title character, and it felt like he was in maybe half the movie instead of like two-thirds or three-fourths of it like you would normally have. There's a lot of scenes that just focus on the other officers, and they don't really have that much of an impact on the story other than Gable, and they weren't really all that entertaining. At least I didn't think so.
No, I mean, I would definitely say that one of the downsides of this movie is they peg it as this crazy balls-to-the-wall action, corny kind of B-movie, but... I really think that they dulled it down or dumbed it down a bit with so much of the, side characters. And, there was the whole story of him going to the bar or whatever, and like getting to, like the cops don't trust him and now they're going to be his best bud or whatever, all that stuff. And it's like, I don't need this shit. Just bring Officer Down back in and give him a gun.
I would have rather had this, the story aspects kind of follow him. It's basically Officer Down. He's just there for the action. He comes in, tears stuff up, gets taken down. They revive him, and then he doesn't come back until it's time to tear stuff down some more.
Right.
So that I thought that was a little odd. And I don't know. Maybe that's how it is. I've not read the comics, so maybe he is just sort of like that, and he doesn't have much of a character. Because everybody was pretty... I'd say like one-dimensional. They were all pretty much, you could summarize their character in a sentence, and they wouldn't really go beyond that. That sort of basic characterization.
Yeah, the police chief I thought was just hilarious. Whenever she's mad, she's like, "I told you not to do this expensive thing, and you did it, grrr."
Yeah. What'd you think of the effects?
I thought they were really good. I thought they did a great job on the effects. I mean, I never was like, this is just totally fake looking or terrible. I think they did a pretty good job with the gunplay and the blood and whatnot. I mean, it was definitely over the top, and it was maybe a little crazy with the sound effects. Like all the audio editing they did, because there's so many times where there's just like, I don't know, it feels like 15 different sound effects happening at the same time, but...
Yeah, there was a lot that was very... It was a very busy, a lot. There was a lot going on. A lot of the shaky cam and quick cuts and some of the action sequences kind of got a little nauseating, a little hard to see what was going on. But yeah, I thought the effects were great overall. Very over the top. They reminded me a lot of kind of Turbo Kid, mm-hmm. I thought, in that regard. I thought the costumes were really cool. I'm sure a lot of them were kind of taken straight from the comic books, like the nuns. There's like this evil group of weapon trafficking nuns that they go up against, and they all looked really neat. Zen Master Flash, I thought he looked kind of goofy. He just had like that one like kind of big goggle, like ski goggles on, and crazy like tracksuit looking thing. I don't really know what to describe it as, but he was also, I thought it was cool how they he spoke like Chinese or Japanese or some Asian language, so at first they had subtitles, and at one point he just yells out like, "Fuck these subtitles," or something like that.
Yeah, and then
instead of him speaking English, they do the rest of the movie with him talking like bad voiceover, where he's like moving his mouth and it's like a bad dubbing.
It reminded me of, like, you know, the old kung fu movies where you have, like, you can see they're obviously talking in, like, Chinese or something, and it's just like, stop, I will kick you in the face, and it's, you know, that's what they did in this. I thought that was really clever, but I, you know, it's there was a lot of cool things they added in. I mean, I definitely felt like this movie was, you know, enjoyable, and I just wish they did not try to make the character development such a big deal. You know, focus on Officer Down, focus on maybe the Fortune 500 because they're a weird trio of animal heads. But the idea that, like, you know, I don't give a shit about Gabe or Officer, what was his name? Gable. And all those other side cops that made appearances. Like, there was Hanzo, the girl, and then there was, the lady cop, and then there was the, I forget the other two. But there was, like, two other ones that were all part of that backup team, and it's like, I don't care.
Yeah, they were all just kind of your stereotype, like, kind of asshole cops, like, mean to the new guy, and you know, don't get in our way kind of thing. Like,
quit rocking the boat, Rook.
You could have skipped it and just, again, you could have used that time to spend more time with Officer Down and see maybe, you know, what does he do when he's not out there just kicking ass and taking names, you know? I thought it would have been cool. Overall, the acting, I thought, for most of them were pretty good. I thought some of, like, those secondary cop characters was not that great. I mean, over the top. Everybody was over the top, but I just thought they were, I don't know, a little... They just weren't as good, I thought, like, as Officer Down or like, some of the bad guys.
Yeah. I'll say, and Officer Down is definitely, like, he reminded me of Judge Dredd a lot. Like, you know, this dude is basically judge, jury, and executioner. And you kind of find out throughout the movie that, like, he's not all of himself. Like, I think there's, like, a scene when he goes to the church. Like, he just starts, like, executing people. Like, he just loses his grip, like, in the middle of the firefight. And you can tell that, like, there are consequences to just constantly bringing this dude back.
Well, yeah, they kind of show it the first time that they bring him back, where they, like, he's, like, twitching or seizing, and, you know, like, he's not quite all there mentally.
Yeah.
When they bring him back, and they're definitely not bringing him in to, like, follow anyone's, like, civil liberties. they basically send him in to just murder everybody. I think that's part of the reason why the whole program is kept secret, because he's not really, you know, doing things legally. He's basically just a vigilante who's working for the government.
Yeah. But no, I definitely agree. Like, the acting from his part was great. I think a lot of most of the other characters were awesome. Even, like, the Slipknot characters, like, you know, the guy who played the beginning bad guy. I mean, it was a little over the top, but it's still okay, and it fits in the film just fine. And I really did like the costumes, especially for the, what was it, the Sisters of whatever, what was it, Mother, what did they call her, Mother Superior or something?
Oh, no.
It's basically a bunch of, like, gunslinging nuns, but they had these really cool, like, face paint crosses on their faces that looked really scary, and I think they did a great job with that. So, I mean, I think the special effects were great, and the acting was pretty good too. I mean, there were definitely some failures in that department, but it's one of those ones where I can let go, because, you know, the movie itself isn't meant to be this, like, you know, shining example of film and, you know, thespian, display, but it was still great for what it was, I think.
Yeah, I think, and then overall the plot, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, it's pretty bare bones, basic. You know, bad group, bad crime syndicate, send in the cops. There's a couple bumps along the way. You've got the big obstacle at the end to overcome, and then everything gets resolved. Like, it wasn't, you know, they weren't, it's not Shakespeare. It's not, you know, anything too crazy. It's just a basic plot line. There wasn't anything, I thought it got to be kind of slow. Maybe that's just because whenever they cut away from Officer Down, I was kind of like, meh. Don't really care what's going on. Like, get back to him.
Yeah.
So it did kind of start to drag for me at the end. And it, nothing too surprising. You know, he's there hung up at the end, unconscious, and Officer Gable's trying to bring him back. And, I mean, you basically know that he's going to, you know. Mm-hmm. He's the main, you know, good guy. He has to come back to defeat the bad guys. So, yeah, he's going to get brought back remotely by these people. And, you know, he does it. I thought it ended kind of quickly, like once he does come back.
Yeah, well, they definitely seem to leave it open for a sequel.
Well, yeah, definitely.
But I'm guessing that's why they ended it in that way. Because you get like, sort of closure, but not really, 100%. But no, I don't know. I think it was... I think that, you know, especially for this... I don't know if this was the guy's first movie he directed, but, I mean, it wasn't terrible at all. And, I mean, it was better than a lot of the ones we've seen in Cheese Flick's storied career so far, so...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If he does another one, I'd watch it. You know, I'd be up for checking that out. And if anything, I would go check out the comic. The comic looks pretty funny, especially if you like that kind of stuff, like Judge Dredd. I mean, I really like Judge Dredd comics, but I want to go read this Officer Down comic book now because it looks like it's right up my alley of the kind of stuff I'd like to read. Yeah. I mean, just the pictures of him with one arm bleeding out and shooting another guy with his, you know, guts hanging out. So I think it's...
That was actually... That kind of reminds me of one thing with sort of the reality that this movie's supposed to take place in that bugged me. Is that... Okay, I'm fine with, for whatever reason, he can't feel pain. But if he dies, that means that his body is still functioning, like, mechanically. So getting shot is going to do more than just cause him to bleed. Like, it can actually... It should stop him from functioning, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you get shot in the back, if you severed your spinal cord, or if he can't breathe, or if he gets shot in the gut and starts bleeding out, but... It should affect him, but the way they show it, he'll take multiple shots to the chest, and he just stays standing. Like, who cares?
Yeah, he's basically RoboCop.
And until, you know, in the first action sequence, he takes lots of shots, and then the building blows up, and that's what kills him. You know, later on, he gets a hand cut off and kind of keeps going for a minute before they end up sort of overwhelming him, but it's... There's several parts where he's getting shot multiple times, and it's like, this should be doing more than just causing him to bleed. Like, this is breaking bones. This should be getting to the point he's having trouble walking or using his
limbs. Yeah, like, he would look terrible every time. Like, they don't really explain that at all, which they guess they don't really have to, but the fact that he's, like, you know, the same person, this isn't just, like, a clone or, you know, or something that they're reusing the same carcass each time, it's...
I mean, it's almost like video game logic. It's like, if he's got 100 health points, he is fully functional even with one health point. And he goes from fully functional to dead. You know, where it's like, he should be like, oh, I can't use my arm because I got shot in the shoulder or whatever it is. But he's like a robot, you know, until he's finally taken out. And then they just have to collect his body and revive him.
Yeah.
But I guess you're probably not looking at a movie like this for, like, realism, so... but it is fun. Like, it's a lot of fun. It was funny. There's a lot of good comic relief. You know, like, that... They go back to that whole, like, orgasm counter thing later on. I think that, the second time around, he gets up to 37.
Yeah. Dude, he doesn't mess around.
So, I don't know. That made me laugh. It started me off like, wow, this movie is not... This is not for kids.
It's simply ridiculous. I mean, it definitely sets expectations early.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really liked Kim Coates. Vanessa actually wanted me to give a shout-out because we actually met him at Horror Hound here in Cincinnati a couple years ago. And he gave her a hug. And I think that's honestly why she picked this movie, was just because we met him.
What's Horror Hound for our listeners out there?
Oh, I was like, what? so it's just it's a convention here. I think they do it in Cincinnati, Columbus, and Indianapolis. It's just for basically horror movie fans, and you know, they've had actors from The Walking Dead and different horror franchises there, along with artists, and there's a film festival associated with it also. that we've gone to every year for the last several years.
You know what is interesting and ironic about all this is I'm drinking my beer out of a Horror Hound glass that I bought there the last time I went.
Nice.
Didn't even know you'd bring it up. So what did you rate this movie?
I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Alright. Fair enough.
What about you?
I gave it a 3 out of 5. I probably would have given it a 3.5, I guess, if we're doing halves. I would definitely go up. I mean, I think the biggest drawback for me was the... just the some of the plot is a little ridiculous, and it is very slow at certain times, and I wish they would have, like... I know they didn't... I mean, it probably would have been a very short movie and probably a lot more expensive had they done nothing but action, but that's what it just needed to be, and I think that it would have been a lot more fun to watch had there been less of the, you know, side character dialogue and build-up, yeah, which I didn't even care about.
We can do halves. You've done halves before. I'm looking at my list.
Yeah, we probably have.
You gave a 2.5 to Shark Lake. That is actually...
Take that, Shark Lake!
That's only... You're only half star. I gave halves to How Comes the Frog Town, Cowboys versus Dinosaurs, and Shark Lake all got somewhere in the middle. It's our podcast. We make up the rules.
I'm going to give Officer Down 37 orgasms.
Are those all from you, or
are you... Is it to me? Am I getting them?
Oh, now we're back to cheese dicks. Cheese flicks nights. Sorry, kids.
Anyway, next movie. Let's talk that. I'm really excited about this because we talked a little bit before the podcast about it, but Andrew's not seen this. I've seen it a couple times, I think. But this is on Netflix, and it's a classic. Starring Snake Plissken himself, Escape from New York. So that'll be the next episode of Cheese Flicks. We're going to watch this awesome movie about a guy who is just, you know, one hell of a badass. And he's got to, I think, save the president's daughter or something. So
I'm thinking the one that I remember seeing probably was Escape to L.A. Is Escape to L.A. the one where L.A. is like a prison colony?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think I saw Escape from L.A., so I'm almost certain I have not seen Escape from New York. But I love that type of movie. That,
yeah, this is...
What year
is
did that come out?
Early 80s. In New York, anyway, did. Oh, man. Judge Dredd is also on Netflix. We should do that sometime. Like the one with Stallone in it? Yeah. I think... I'm not trying to find it. I don't know. Escape from New York. Here we go.
It's 1981.
Yeah. In the near future, criminal and war hero Snake must rescue the president from a New York City, which has been turned into a maximum security prison. Starring Kurt Russell, Lee Van Cleef, Ernest Borgnine, Donald Pleasance, and Isaac Hayes. Directed by John Carpenter.
Oh, nice.
So, on that note, I guess we'll end it here with our new and improved streamlined super... what do you call this, like...
Super Cheese?
Super Cheese, yeah. So see you next week on Super Cheese Cheese Flicks. My name is Logan.
And I'm Andrew.
Well, here at last, dear friends, on the shores of the sea, comes the end of our podcast. Go in peace. I will not say, do not weep. Not all tears are an evil.